Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hockey is on. And no matter the city, no matter the team, no matter the game, whether it's face-off or penalty shots, regular season or playoffs, win or lose, no matter what happens, no matter where it happens, New Amsterdam Vodka is there.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30, and today we have five emotional rounds in the magazine. Round number one, the internet-made Vice President Mike Pence, an honorary Navy pilot after the debate this week. People were calling him Flyboy. Get it? We aren't going to focus on the debate, but that wing fucker caused Kate to go down a bit of an insect rabbit hole. Round number two, a leaked PowerPoint slide showed some serious gate guard issues over at Joint Base Lewis McChord. That slide will have you facepalming yourself while also saying that sounds about right. Round number three, dating apps of military guys are notoriously cringeworthy. One reporter is trying to help with some tips. School circle on our friend Sarah Sicard. Round number four, the Wolf of Wall Street joins Zero Block 30. The actual one, Jordan Belfort, joins the show to talk about his new initiative to training military veterans and why he thinks that they're actually great salesmen or will be great salesmen, saleswomen, things like that. That guy, before I even go on to what round five is going to be, I'm not typically impressed or enamored with that many people or feel like they're incredibly charming. I can see why that motherfucker was the Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, why you're so successful, yeah.
And he has an accent, like a Jersey, New York accent that typically I would fucking hate. Like that I would be like, I don't want to talk to this dude. I would have sat there and talked to him about whatever he wanted to talk about forever. Like I just would have. Yeah. He's a charming guy, even though I can't pinpoint what's charming about him. It's very odd.
How much of his stock did you buy?
Zero. I'll never buy stock.
I gave him all my assets by the end of the conversation.
I actually just, my only stock I've ever, I think I've bought two. Like I have, well, I don't think Vanguard really counts. Like whenever you're buying like large amounts of stocks in Vanguard. But Penn is the only stock I've ever bought. Like it is that one. And we didn't buy it when I wanted to, when it was like $4 and it went up to like 70. That would have been a really nice move, but we didn't do that. Anyways, round number five. We're going to talk about aircraft carriers being cool and all, but have you heard of the Navy's little booming beaver? It's not the size of the boat, my friend. It's the motion in the ocean that it caused. And if you want a motion of sleepiness, you might go on with our friends at 3Chi. They're back as the sponsor of the show, and we really appreciate them because 3Chi is the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. All of them are formulated by a biochemist, real-life scientist. All products are made in the USA and U.S. hemp-grown. Look, this Delta 8 shit that is legal, it's federal legal, is all over the place now. But 3Chi is the one that actually started it. And theirs are, I think, are the best. Like, I've only had theirs, but I imagine that it is the best because they started it. It's like going with, you can't have, you don't go get a Frosty from anywhere else other than Wendy's. You just don't do it. What they have all different types. If you want gummies, if you want vapes, if you want the Tinctures, if you want, they have one more that I think I've had. I don't know, but they have a bunch of stuff. Go check out their website to see what they have, and you're going to be able to get 5% off. You must be 21 to purchase. Go to 3chi.com, the number 3CHI, like Chicago.com, to shop for Delta 8 vapes, gummies, tinctures, and oils. Oils was the last one that can be used to make homemade edibles. So if you want to make some brownies, if you want, say you're a Jacksonville Jaguar fan and your team stinks out loud, or say you are a Mississippi State fan and your team gets beat by fucking Arkansas. Like, if you want to have a nice little night to take the edge off, throw some of those oils into a little brownie mix and you'll be all set. You'll be just hanging out, just feeling fly like Mike Pence. All right, let's get started with the show. 3chi.com/zero. I think that's it. Is that it?
We should probably make sure.
Yeah, use the code zero to receive 5% off your order. You must be 21 to purchase. Let's get going. President is out of quarantine. He is, well, not out of quarantine. He's out of the hospital. Still in quarantine. News came out this morning while we were recording that they might have to move the second debate virtual, which I actually think would be awesome because then you can just smash that mute button.
Bingo.
Make them both get their thoughts out. Be like, okay, Biden, you want to have a new, your two legs of the Green New Deal? Explain what your position on climate change is. You have 2 minutes legitimately uninterrupted. That's the only thing you can talk about. They start talking about some other dumb shit like they were doing last night. Mute. Nope, that was not the question.
And they should also have a clock in the top corner that's just counting down. And then when it's done,
just do it like part of the interruption.
Yeah, big buzzer. Absolutely. I'd be very surprised though if that actually happens and Trump would agree to that.
He already said absolutely not. I think that all of his like debate characteristics that make his base love him, I think that goes away there. Like if they like, okay, you have this great new medical plan, your new plan, you want to get rid of Obamacare, explain what some of the tenets are, sir. And he'd be like, no, that's not what the question is. You're muted. Somebody would angrily leave the chat like I do whenever I play Madden Online. Like, they just turn it off, blow in it, and plug the debate back in. Yeah. Maybe that is the way. We should do that from now on. I get so sick of watching them debate and go at each other's throats. Fucking sick of it. Anyways, we also have big news that a lot of the, I think all four members of the, or all five members of the Joint Chiefs of Staff are quarantining right now as well. Who do you think, like let's say the Chief of Staff of the Air Force, who does he bring his sick hall chit to?
That's a good question. Do you think they get the sign?
He's got to report to somebody, just the president, right? Or maybe the Secretary of Defense?
You think they get assigned like a special, I don't know, who do they take, you know, if they have a no shave chit, who do they take that to?
How does the commandant go in MOL? Who does he submit his leave to?
Right. Who's checking his vehicle? Yeah. Who's checking his vehicle before the 96th?
Right.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Crazy. Our Sergeant Major at Quantico used to check all the different colonels and above shit before he would let them go on leave. He talked about it at this NCO symposium. He's like, everybody doesn't think a colonel. He's like, if a colonel needs to go on leave and they submit it through me to get to the base commander, I make sure I go and check their vehicle, check their insurance, do all the shit that NCO should be doing, because that's what good staff NCOs do too. And I was like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like a colonel's going to be like, sure, Sergeant Major, check my shit. Yeah. Actually, I need my oil changed. Like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, sorry, sir. You can go to get this squared away. Okay. Yeah, I'm all over that. It's our major.
Yeah, I can't see it. Can't see it.
All right, but hold on.
Like the only thing I want to mention about the little fly stuff, but well, I guess we'll get into round one. Go ahead, Kate. What do we got for round one?
Yeah, so sitting there watching the debates kind of half-assedly, and it wasn't as exciting because there wasn't as much middle school name calling at each other as the last one, not as much interrupting, but still sitting there watching it. And I was kind of waiting to see for ZBT, are they going to mention the Afghan War? It was the Afghan War's 19th birthday yesterday. It was a 16 candles type scenario where the whole day went by and nobody said anything to her. And but anyway, so that
Afghan War is essentially Jan at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
Where nobody ever plays Jan. It's always about Marsha.
Healthcare. Nobody cares about the war.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So anyway, I'm sitting there watching. I'm on board, and all of a sudden, like a gleaming beacon in the night, on his bright, and that man, it's not just white hair that Mike Pence has, that the vice president has. It is like crispity.
Well, there's a technical term. There's a scientific term for that. Do you know what it is?
No, but
preacher hair. It's preacher hair. That's what he has. Like Southern Baptist preacher hair. They have this one. They have this one hairspray that comes in a black bottle. You can get it at like the dollar store, and you just absolutely load up on it. Every preacher that I know has that shit.
What?
It's preacher hair.
Oh my god. Well, it's as pure as the driven snow on the top of his head. And so all of a sudden, this huge black fly lands on top of his head, and it is so noticeable because his hair is so crispity white. I immediately sat up in my seat like, don't
make
daddy.
It's like a horse fly. It's huge.
Holy shit. And I went on Twitter immediately. I was like, let's fucking go. If there's one thing that can unite the left and the right, we're all going to be tweeting about this fly, and we were. it was there for a full 2 minutes, too, and everybody's like, oh my god, he's still holding on. He's still up there. He's still whatever. Everybody from work was tweeting about it. It went on Instagram. I'm scrolling through. All my friends from home who aren't even political were excited about the fly. All the big meme sites were doing the fly. And immediately, Mike Pence's fly had Twitter accounts. People started making Twitter accounts for the fly. At Mike Pence's Fly underscore had 13,000 followers within 30 minutes. By morning, it was up to 102,000. This fly got
That's
my,
crap. That is such crap. Here we are toiling away, trying to grow our followings, trying to get our message and our podcast out to everyone. And this dumb internet account gets 102,000 followers in less than 24 hours.
But everybody that's following that account, you wouldn't want to be your follower anyway.
Good
if
point.
If it's right now and you're following that account, you're a loser. Yeah. Like, that's just a loser
you
thing
have
to do.
Outed hey. Yourself as an idiot.
Did you follow it, Kate?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to be with the gang. I want to see. But it got me thinking. This fly gained popularity so quickly, it kind of took over the attention from the vice president. Was this fly? Because if we recall, at the last presidential debates, Hillary Clinton had a fly crawling all over her face in a most disturbing manner. She didn't feel it, and it was legit, like, on her eye and her nose and her mouth and, like, what the
Which
fuck?
Which made Alex Jones question the fact if she was actually a lizard robot person.
Exactly. And you watch the clip and you think, maybe. I don't know.
Could be. How do you not feel that fly? I am so hyper aware to bugs on my skin. Like, last night, I was doing some work stuff in my yard, and the mosquitoes right now are just horrendous. Mm. Like, the entire time, I just feel them. I'll never slap them away, because I eat, they need to eat, too. Like, I take that old adage from boot camp. I'm not going to do it.
Yep,
so,
nightmare.
But I feel it. How do you not feel it on your lips? Or maybe she just has mad discipline and didn't want to wipe it off.
That's true. It could be a lot of discipline. I'm sure Mike Pence didn't feel that on his little helmet that he's got, of crispy white dome lettuce that he's got. But it got me thinking. If Hillary didn't win last time and she had a fly, and now Mike Pence has a fly at a key moment, was it sent from the enemy? Should I put my tinfoil hat on and get a little QAnon? Was someone in the audience holding a tiny little fly cage? At the right moment, they open the teeny tiny little door, and bam, nobody's paying attention to the vice president anymore. But no, okay, probably not the case. But I did, that got me thinking. Bugs in warfare. We've talked about using bees and bugs as, like, drones, sort of. They're talking about putting tiny little cameras and weapons on these things. We've covered that on ZBT before. But did you know that historically, we have been using bugs as weapons for a long, long, long-ass time?
I did not, but now I want to know more.
Do you? Or are you just saying that?
In fact, I do.
Okay. Well, I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole. I was thinking
you?
About yeah, of course. I was thinking about him, and then I started looking up stuff about flies, which don't, because I was Googling flies last night. The up-close pictures of their little mouths are the most disgusting thing you'll ever see. But anyway.
Kate, quick question I need to know. Are your rabbit holes now weirder with pregnancy brain?
For sure, for sure, for sure. Somehow I tie everything in with pregnancy in the end. Flies can't hurt pregnancy unless you're eating stuff that they're shitting on. Anyway, during the Parthian Wars in Rome that began in 54 BC, King Barisimia used scorpion-stuffed pots thrown at the enemy to defend the ancient Middle Eastern city of Hatra from the Romans.
Which is actually the original boo box.
It's the original boo box from Hook. But not only that, within these, it was like a cauldron of scorpions. He would also mix in these beetles called rove beetles that had a compound that would cause, so he throws these pots out, the scorpions are everywhere, the beetles go flying all over the enemy, and these beetles had a compound that would start to blister the skin if they're like, if the soldiers are hitting the beetles to get them off them and they crush the skin of the beetle, their skin immediately starts to get covered in blisters, their hands,
their
arms.
Did you know that that beetle is actually one of the reasons why that scientists believe that it's possible dragons actually existed at some point, because they have some of the characteristics of what would cause a flammable to come out of your mouth. It's one of the only animals that's known to have that. There's two. The firefly, that one, and that beetle.
Holy shit, no.
Well, now I know.
If you're just making that up, I full-heartedly believe you.
No, I'm not. It's true.
Well, during another Roman war, honey, chaps, this is in your wheelhouse. They would use honey as a compound. Ooh. There was something in this honey called granotoxin that these particular bees in this area of Rome or wherever, certain plants they would eat would make their honey toxic. So then for Roman invaders, the Romans would leave these pots of honey and stuff along the route. So you're the enemy.
Do you want me to tell you what actually happened, how they got it?
What?
Because I know. It's weird that I know two of these things straight off the top.
Yeah.
Well, just mad honey actually comes from an area of Tibet. It's still there where you can go up and scale the mountain. They have these people who it's been their entire generations, for generation after generation after generation. They've been these mountain cave honey folks, and they are, their skin has micro-evolved to the point where even when they're kids, even when they're toddlers, they can go up and be around hornets and bees, and if they try to sting them, it doesn't affect them at all. Like, there's micro-evolution on the planet proven because of these folks, that they'll go up still. Now, people from all across the globe will go to Tibet regions to find this mad honey because it gives off the same type of hallucinogens that mushrooms do.
And that's what would happen here. This same type of honey was in this particular area. So the Romans would leave, you know, they know that the enemy is going through and pillaging and stuff. So they would leave these big pots of honey laying around. So the enemy would think, sweet, we just scored all this honey. They would be eating it.
Yeah, you see a pot of honey, buddy, you're putting that on a cracker.
You're putting it on a cracker. You're not saying no. You're absolutely not saying no. So they would then eat the honey and start tripping balls. They would be having hallucinations. They would be super sick. But basically, as somebody who's taken acid before and mushrooms, I could tell you, you don't want to be going into battle under...
Don't listen to this, baby Kate.
Earmuffs. You don't want to be going into a... I was on the beach and I was stressing out a little bit. I can only imagine wearing like a ton of heavy metal gear or whatever the hell they were wearing and about to march into like hand-to-hand combat, tripping balls.
And you don't have weird ass documentaries on Hulu that you could have watched to know that it's hallucinogenic honey,
right?
Like I do.
Right, I saw a crab walking.
I'm not well read.
I
just watch a lot of documentaries.
Yeah, and I was like, no, that yeah, no, it's definitely not something you want to happen to you. And they use that. They would also, you know, if the enemy was digging tunnels or holes or trenches or stuff like that, they would release bees into the tunnels, and that is.
Oh. I thought you were going to say they just put honey down there, because imagine how pissed you'd be if you're on a mission and you're doing like a little patrol walk and you're in formation and you're going through this canal, and then all of a sudden your arm hair, leg hair, dick hair, pussy hair is covered in honey.
Thank you.
You'd be irate.
Yeah, if your flaps were covered in honey in a tunnel, you're going into
that's
war.
A yeast infection ready to happen.
It's waiting to happen. There's no cranberry juice back then. You're screwed. Mm-hmm. UTI City. Mm-hmm. So anyway, but yeah, so they would also put, the Romans used beehive catapults. They would put like take their catapults instead of bombs. They would put beehives and fling them. And that's a horrible fate for anyone who gets hit by one. But I'm not going to lie. A little part of me wants to watch this from a castle.
Yeah,
wall.
That's incredibly innovative.
Right?
To just launch a beehive. That's so smart.
But you know what
and
the worst?
And you know what their battle cry was before they would fire off these catapult full of honey?
What?
No, it was actually Welcome to Jackass, and they would do it.
Well, you know what the worst MOS would be? Cons, you were artillery.
Oh, yeah, having to, like, handle the honey? The guy who has to worry about the honey rounds?
Being
yeah.
the hive lance corporal, the little bee guy who's like, all right, bitch, go get it. No,
he walks
fuck.
Up, he's just got bug bites
Give
all over his
face. Give me six
hives
right damn now.
Yeah, Chaps is like, run over, get me that one bee off that tree right
no,
now.
No, not that
not
bee,
that
this bee.
Right,
no,
this
bee.
Bee,
sorry.
Wrong bee. So, yeah, then,
Chaps, I'm sorry. I don't mean to slander your dear Winnie the Pooh, but has there ever been anything in history that was misrepresented as much as honey? In Winnie the Pooh, it looks delicious. You can just grab it with your hand and suck it down, when in reality, that's just not the case.
Well, I mean, honey is... Are you saying honey is not delicious?
I'm saying honey is delicious, but have you ever had a pot of honey that you just wanted to, like, stick your hand in? No? Your hand gets ridiculously sticky.
Save that for
Well,
ranch.
I don't have the tongue of a bear. Like, if I had the tongue of a bear or a cat, I probably would. I have to go get Dial soap or all kinds of stuff to get it off. The way that they have the particles on their tongue and they lick themselves, they can clean themselves lickety-split. I would do the same thing.
No pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I still don't understand if it's bee poop or bee vomit or what that is, but I think it's overrated. Anyways, in 1944, Germany was accused of slipping Colorado potato beetles into Britain to decimate their crops. In 1997, Cuba accused us of aerially dropping thrips, a slender little crop killer, onto the island during the Cold War. It's pretty much impossible to prove this shit. Like, now, down in Philly, we have the lantern flies, and there's, I'm looking on the Philly Reddit, and there's conspiracy theories, like, it was China, they brought the lantern flies here on purpose, and like, yeah, specifically for you, Philadelphia, they're really after you in particular, but it's in the Geneva Conventions, the use of insects is banned under the Biological Weapons Convention of the Geneva Conventions,
That's true.
Yeah, and another little fun fact about the Thrips that were dropped off in Cuba. Did you know that their uniforms looked a lot like the Navy camouflage? It's the Thrips versus the Bloods in Cuba.
Oh, Dad.
Little gang goofing.
It got me thinking, though. Also, in castle walls, they used to make them hollow so that bees would build their nests, like, so it would be a wall of stone, a wall of beehive, and then a wall of stone.
Genius.
So you think you're breaking through the wall to get to them, and all of a sudden you're fucking covered in bees. Nightmare fuel. No, thank you. My personal one, I would do a fire ant moat. If I had a castle somewhere in South Carolina or something, you would have to get through. You're marching through just endless, endless fire ants. I don't think anybody would ever come for me.
I would just release, you wouldn't even need that many, maybe five or six camel spiders, because you see those things, they look like they're straight out of a video game. They look unreal, and they would scare the bejesus out of you.
But do they really? Are they really?
Are you kidding me? Have you never seen a camel spider up close?
I heard it was a camera angle thing. I heard they're not as
No, they're big.
Are they really?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck that. And they eat your flesh, right?
Yeah, there was one time I was working out, squatting 315, no big deal, and one crawled underneath and went between my legs. My buddy took a 45-pound plate and then just dropped it on it.
Gross.
Oh, yeah, it was great. They eat bugs and stuff. I would use something like a cicada or cricket to psychological warfare. I would find out where their camp was and just release a bunch of crickets so nobody's asleep and everybody's on fire watch.
And like that one lieutenant who thinks he's funny, he would tell a joke. And then it would just be crickets, and then he'd be so there. Yeah.
Story of my life on this podcast.
Yeah.
Speaking of crickets, Big Al, he had a cricket problem, so he put down traps in the garage. I didn't realize he had a whole mess of crickets on those traps last time I was there.
It is
driving you nuts.
Down in PA, people are putting these like things around their trees for the lantern flies, and it looks like the trees are alive. They're like covered in these. It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, those are neat.
All I'll say is if I was a politician and I was up for election and I was on stage and somebody released a bee, I'd be like, I'm out. I'm out of the running. I'm done. I'm not putting up with this bee up here. I'd be fucking out. So I get it.
Yeah, you have a weird vendetta against bees.
Really?
Like, you don't like it because of apple season. You don't. Everywhere you go, you give us a bee update, what the bee situation is.
I do. They ruin the best times of the year. They ruin the best times of your life.
But they're the pollinators of the earth.
There is nothing worse.
It's such a juxtaposition with Kate. She loves flowers, hates bees. Makes no sense.
Get them out of here. I'm done.
I will tell you, there's nothing worse than being at brunch and all of a sudden a bee starts flying around because you can't swat at it.
It's ruined me brunch.
My chartreuse is bold.
I give this board a 3.2. A 2.9 because of the bees.
Yeah.
Let's move on to round number two. We have a little bit of gate guard issues at JBLM up in Washington.
Little Tacoma goofing up there. This is one of those things where somebody is sitting in a PowerPoint presentation, an endless one, and they see a slide that they go, oh, and they take a picture and they send it to U.S. Army what the fuck moments because it's so mind-scratchingly silly, and it kind of went viral. So many people had comments and thoughts and retweets and whatever on this PowerPoint slide. So I wanted you guys to read it off, and after we're done reading it off, read them all off at once, and then tell me what your issues were with it, because by the end of this slide, I was thinking, not great things going on at Joint Base Lewis-McChord's gates. And it's a review of lessons learned of this. People were saying, from what I gathered, this is one particular gate, like one particular unit. I don't know if that's true or not. But it's a review of lessons learned of soldier indiscipline and other problems. I don't know, Chapter Cons, if you want to read off these issues that they are having.
Yeah, so these people are obviously MPs if they're in the gate shack. And a gate shack schedule would normally be 06 to 1800. 12-hour shift is normally what you have. So it is a long shift, so you're out there. So weird stuff starts to happen, especially if you're working in the night shift and things kind of really slow down at about 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. You're trying to get a little extra sleep. So I can kind of see some. So one of the first things they said, sleeping on duty, including the NCOs. Underlined, no sleeping. No sleeping on post. That should be a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like that's fair. But they were probably like taking shifts on who could sleep and when. But overall, you probably just shouldn't be sleeping on duty.
Yeah.
So you can get away with this. This is where I think you can get away with this thing. If you are the junior troop, so let's put it like just so I get the terms right, Marine version. If you're the Lance Corporal and you're sleeping and your corporal's on duty and he's or she is the one that's out on the gate, you have no issues whatsoever because the NCO allowed you to sleep.
Yep.
If you're the NCO caught sleeping and you have the junior troop outstanding a post,
because that's when mistakes happen. And going off the rest of this list, mistakes were happening.
All right. So the next one we got is damaging equipment on purpose. I mean,
I love it. Damaging equipment on purpose.
But I need to know what equipment and why were they damaging it?
What's something that's really annoying that you hate to do? And so it's easy to be like, you know what?
I don't think that's it. I think it's what's really fun to fuck with is what should be.
And
the answer is jet heaters. It's jet heaters 1,000%. You're up at this base in Washington. It's a rainy night, probably 45, 50 degrees. You're cold. You see the jet heater going. We're burning stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're burning
definitely
stuff.
Burning stuff. But also, I think gates these days, gates that maybe go up and down like this as I do something visually on an audio podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think about people riding those and seeing how long you could stay on if you can make it to vertical?
Absolutely. I could see that.
I mean, really, I could see anything. When junior troops are involved, like you could be like, oh, yeah, they went and got some of that mad honey and put it all over the place. Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can see that.
And I can also see, like, I don't know, if like they have to go do something that involves some sort of equipment that's annoying to them, be like, sorry, Sapsar, and I can't, it's broken right now. And it's like, oh, who broke it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. This next one just nestled in like it's with the others.
Little classic grab assing.
Yeah.
I was thinking about military term.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day. Did you guys, when you were in, was this a common thing? Like people goosing you or credit card or nut taps?
Mm-hmm. Oil check is what we did. We went, oil
that
check.
Stuff, does that still happen? Like, do people still do that? I don't think as much. I don't think you can get away with that as much. If I went a day without a pal's finger in or around my butthole, I would have had a completely different Marine Corps experience, honestly.
Yeah, I'll tell you, everybody in my units was smart enough to never do it to me, and I was smart enough to never do it to them.
I mean, that was the rule. Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw it all the time, and it was like a goofy. It's like, watch out, he's about to get you goose, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
oh, grab your penis.
Shout to the great Jim Valvano, who once said about the military, a full day, you need to laugh, you need to cry, you need to think, you need to goose your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly right. My buddy, two of my friends from Okinawa, I'm going to say their full Christian names. And they used to play a game.
They sound fake.
They're real life, and one of them is a fucking FBI agent now. So they used to play a game, consensually. Pinch the penis head as hard as you can. And it was the person that tapped out, like they would grab each other's dickheads at the same time and pinch as hard as they could and see who would tap out the first.
Now, if you said that to any functioning human being, they wouldn't understand it. But you say that to us, and I don't know, for whatever reason, like, the military, yeah, I get it.
Yeah, so that kind of stuff happens all the time, like junior troops. And I honestly, I don't think that it can happen or probably does happen as much now. But a little bit of side of me kind of thinks that it does. Like, I think that that is inherently, as fucked up as it sounds and even as liberal as I am, I think it's legitimately, nakedness is part of the military culture. It just is.
No, it is. I mean, I think if you asked any regular Joe walking down the street and you said, hey, let's play this game where we do that to one another, they would look at you crooked and wonder if you should be committed. But in the military, for some reason, you're absolutely right. It just kind of fits.
But this is on the slide because it's not about grab ass and happening with your buddies back at the barracks. This is about it happening at the gate.
And there's a time and place for everything.
Right.
There is a time and place for everything. And at the gate to the entrance of one of the largest bases in the American arsenal is not one of the places that you want to be at. But I'd be interested. If you're still active duty, let me know. You don't have to like put it out there. You could DM me. Is dick goofing still part of the game? I need to know.
What's going on with that? We need an address on the
percentage-wise. Can we do percentage-wise? Like, so let's say you have a squad of the typical squad. Let's say 13. Of the 13 members in your squad, how many of their dicks have you seen? I need to know. All right. And send pics if you got them.
All right, let's keep going with the slide.
All right, next one. What's up next? What do we got next?
Assaulting other soldiers. Not great if you are on the gate protecting. You're supposed to be protecting other soldiers.
See, but I feel like that harkens back to the grab ass scene. That was probably someone who came in and saw two soldiers doing something, thinking that they, one was assaulting the other, when in fact they were just doing the grab ass.
No, I think there's probably actual assaulting happening. And I also think that there's always that one. Like, yes, grab assing with your buddies is fun. But guess who ruins it? There's always somebody who takes it too far.
The one who absolutely destroys your nipples and like the whistle game where they'll be like, whistle, bitch, whenever they twist your titty, little titty twister goofing. And then next thing you know, you got to go see the corpsman because your nips are all fucked.
Or what do you tell the corpsman when that happens?
Fucking doctor will fuck my tits up.
Like, yeah. I think also, too, it's clear when you're grab-assing, like, you and your, like, who's into it and who's not. And but there's always that idiot that goes after the person who's clearly not. And that's, brother, that's assault. You can't
right.
be
like,
doing
that. You gotta
that.
Know. You gotta, right. you gotta stay in. It's kind of like the old doorknob game whenever you're younger. Like, if you fart and you don't say doorknob, if you're in on the game, I'm gonna wail on you. Absolutely wail on you.
So... There's a fine line
What a
there,
great game that was, by the way.
I played it with my youth pastor whenever I was younger. I was in, I think, 11th or 12th grade, and this guy was tiny. I wasn't big either, but he got home, and he would play the game with it. No, it was B-Spike is the game that we used to play. Have you heard of B-Spike?
No.
No.
So if you said a word that started with the letter B during the game B-Spike, you had to say B-Spike before you had to – or you had to touch a doorknob or something like that. If you don't, then you got hit until you could. So we would play B-Spike. And we played with our youth pastor. He said he wanted to get in, and I absolutely wailed on him. He came home, like, took his shirt off in front of his wife, and his arms were, like, purple and yellow and blue. She came in. She was so mad at everybody. Justifiably so. We beat the shit out of him, kind of.
That's fair.
So you can't – maybe they had a big pediddle thing going on where if a headlight coming up to the gate was off, you got to punch somebody. Anyway, don't assault each other, people. Here's another big one that is not great when you are working on a gate protecting the base. Leaving posts without authorization, a.k.a. going AWOL while you are on gate duty. Not great. This one's even worse. Allowing unauthorized foreign nationals onto the base.
That's like, that has to be a part of the slideshow? Like, that's that common of a problem where they're like, yeah, you can't let foreign nationals onto the base.
How is that not higher up? That's like in the middle.
You got a lead with that one.
Well, in the end, we'll get to issues people had with this, but some people said the order of this list was very troubling. Wrong uniforms, uniforms tattered, faded, torn, buttons unbuttoned, Velcro not secured. So you are representing the base when people are pulling up and you are on the guard. If you look like shit, the base looks like shit is the reasoning there. So people looking bad.
I respect that one.
This one, of all the things on this list, it's the only thing underlined besides no sleeping. Not saluting officers. Retired officers get salutes also. And people were up in arms about this, saying retired officers sure as shit don't get saluted.
They sure as shit do. They definitely do.
They definitely rate it. Yeah.
Do they really?
Yes, absolutely. That's a custom. How do you not know that? You're an MP, Kate.
Dude,
how do you not know that?
I never were. I got for like a week I had to do the gate once when they were
short on people.
You get
that salute for life. The biggest issue that I used to see with MPs would be not saluting the spouse of the active duty member. Like, that was a big one. Some of the spouses wanted the salute too. The blue sticker does not rate the salute. It's the person inside.
See, people were saying only if the retired officer is in uniform for some kind of ceremony would you ever salute them.
Once you see it on their CAC card there, that's when you get the salute.
So that's underlined and very – not saluting officers. It's underlined. It's very important. Underneath that, no underlined. Sexual harassment.
This one is a no-brainer. To go back to the salute one, this is a no-brainer because this is the one that either the master sergeant, the operations chief, or whoever, that's the call that they get over and over and over again from retired officers saying, why wasn't I rendered a proper greeting of the day whenever I entered on post? They're tired of getting that phone call constantly, so they have to address it and it's underlined because it's annoying.
Yeah. And then underneath that, sexual harassment. We know what that is, and we know it happens all the time to both men and women.
All for that one. And they actually made the font smaller.
Third from the bottom.
Yeah.
Again, that ties in with the slippery slope of grab-assing and the idiots who don't understand the game and getting that way wrong. Not great. improperly using and taking OC cans. Who the fuck is spraying each other? This goes back to Jeff.
It's not about spraying each other. It's about seasoning pizza, Kate. You can take it and you put it on there and you season your pizza with it.
You're right. Bored in the middle of the night, stuck at the gate, yes. You're going to start fucking with the OC for
and
sure.
And I used to do that all the time to my Marines. If my Marines looked like they weren't paying attention in the kennels, I would go get my OC canister and just spray it in the hallway. So then you get a little secondary contamination.
Little wake me up. And finally, and better most importantly, and this to me is huge. Not reporting gate runners properly or using barriers. A gate runner is someone who basically kind of busts through the gate and is like, I'm not stopping, I'm just fucking going through. And then people at the gate going, ah, well, they're gone.
That's a lot of paperwork, though.
Holy shit.
Got a lot of paperwork to do if that happens.
I look at these bases and these gates and I'm like, I get nervous looking at them. I'm like, oh, man. And it turns out a lot of cases, I bet it would be shocking if somebody tried to do an investigative report to see how easy it is to get through these things and how lax at a lot of the gates the security actually is, especially as we're switching to, like, when I went to my cousin's retirement, it was like a 90-year-old man with two hearing aids in, civilian, at the gate now. They're replacing a lot with civilians who could care less. Like, and he was like, we started to explain. He was like, nah, just go ahead. And it's like, oh, okay, dude.
You look not like trouble. Just go on ahead and just tell him I checked you.
Major old people, we've never talked about this on the show. I consistently go to the pharmacy still on base. How we need to have a support group for the people who are so bored that they volunteer at the pharmacy to give you your pills. Like, can we just have like a coffee group or something? Like, that's how you want to spend your time, is just checking IDs. Like, I understand and appreciate that because it, like, gives the people what they need. But let's get these people some friends. Let's get them an actual... That's sad, man. 80 years old, sitting there fucking handing out Viagra? Come on.
It gives them a little sense of purpose. And this stupid robot pill machine's coming in to take... Anyway, those were the things on this slide for this one particular... From what I gathered, I could be wrong, but from this one particular unit, gate guard unit, and it's a lot. There's a lot on this slide. People's main takeaways from going through, there was hundreds of comments on this. The biggest arguing was over, do you salute a retired officer?
But it's like not really an argument. It's a black and white thing.
Yeah, it's a regulation. You do it.
The second biggest takeaway was people saying, not great to not report gate runners or unauthorized foreign nationals entering the base. Kind of a problem. And then, are they really putting sexual assault in the same grouping as Velcro not secured? That was a little bit of a doozy for a lot of people, a little bit of a head scratcher. And people were saying that this is the problem with grouping all this shit together and just dumping it on a slide as if it's all equal, sends a weird message. People really hated this sheet. So
if you do this sheet, bold at the top, you got to be smart and say in no particular order.
You got to say in no particular order. But I just want to know who this unit is. And then people were trying to guess which unit it was. And we're like, oh,
it's the MPs.
Well, it's the MPs. But like one particular gate, somebody's like, it better not be fourth, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Oh. Well, it's my old whatever, you know. So
back when I was in.
I grabbed so much dick at the gate.
Wait, we're making fun of those people. That's exactly what we do every day. Every time we record. That's essentially what this podcast is.
By the way, speaking of salutes, we posted on our social media, there was a video of Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York City. What an idiot he is, by the way, in more ways than one. But he went out on this video in front of City Hall, put on a mask, and, you know, I got that. That's good. And then he threw up a salute. Bill, who are you saluting? And your feet weren't
together.
That's
a parody, right? He was parodying President Trump whenever Trump returned back from Walter Reed. He stood on the back gate on the big patio in the back of the White House near the residence and saluted the cameraman.
It's
a parody.
If in fact he was aware enough to make fun.
It's exactly what it is. Okay. He said the same shit. He parodied him.
All right. Well, they both need work on their salutes.
He got me last week about making fun of people who sit in the special seat in restaurants, and then he was like, "Well, you do that," and so he got me. So I get it. I know the feeling, man.
Yeah, I'm just way too much online. Let's move on to round number three. This one comes from Sarah
Speaking
Sicard.
Speaking of being online,
yeah, this one is a common theme on, I think, Kate's former social media where she would peruse Bumble, not because she was trolling out there. She just wanted to see what the different people in the different areas were like, right, Kate?
I used to do, I should have pulled them up, but we've gone over them on CBT before, but I used to do blogs where I would go through Bumble and Tinder and whatever, and I would find the worst dating apps out there. I wouldn't dox anybody, I'd hide their information, but I would put the worst. And the military one that I did, people fucking loved it because it was so cringy. But I remember, so like, it was always weird to me, like when I was scrolling through and being on these dating apps, like for real, I didn't put my military stuff on it, really. It wasn't that huge a part of my life. Outside of ZBT, not a huge part of my life anymore. So I'm like, that's not the biggest thing I want people to take away when they're looking at who I am right now. That's something I'll tell them about later. But any man who served that I came across, it was their entire personality on their thing.
Well, I don't think that's fair because there could have been some that didn't have it that did serve and didn't go in there. So there out there that have it and you know that they did serve. But I cringe thinking of when I was single and I was in and I was like super in, buddy. You better believe I'd be out. I wouldn't even just have myself in my dress blues. My first picture would be me in my dress blues. My second one would be probably me in my PT gear. The third would have been my latest fitness report, letting them know how stellar of a Marine I am, because that would have really got them. I would have been me for sure.
I'm surprised you didn't lead off with a dog, you and one of your dogs.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's,
dogs get swipe rights.
That's what it is. Maybe people are either quiet about it and they think, that's something I'll disclose later on if the dates start going well and we'll talk more about it. Or there's like no in between. There's no like, here's neat things about me and I also served in the Army. It's either all Army or it's nothing. It's like the dating apps that I saw, it was like, oh my God. And the worst part was knowing that unknowing civilian women would see that and be like, whoa, cool. No, so honey.
That's my question. A regular old civilian, if they saw someone, like how attractive is it to a civilian female or male if the counterpart on the app was in the military?
I'd say male looking at female who had a super military profile, probably not so much, unless you have like a weird thing where you want to get like tied up and be like, I'm staff sergeant. Ooh. But I feel like other way around, I think women with the extra military stuff who don't know any better, who just don't know, and then they'll learn. They'll learn the hard way. But yeah, I think in the beginning, it's kind of a turn on for some ladies.
No doubt. And if you get that kind of treatment, one who gets that all the time, and she posts about it, and it's hilarious, Sarah Sakar. She's actually been on the show. She was a guest at the show whenever she worked at Task and Purpose. But she gets these types of things all the time because she's out there. She's out there with her profile picture, not just on Twitter, but on Facebook as well. She's an attractive woman. She's educated. I believe she went to an Ivy League school, and now she works doing reporting for the military and does a very, very good job at both being humorous and giving actual reporting on what's going on. She's one of the editors at large for the Military Times. She says, "Dear dudes on military dating apps, dating is hard. We all get it. But there are some things you should know before you decide to try your luck in Swipe City. According to your bio, you're all about God, guns, and country. Cool, cool, cool. Oh, and you felt it was important to list your MOS. This, in actuality, means absolutely nothing to just about everybody. Lastly, you top it off with the claim that you enjoy bourbon. You love nothing more than to meet the girl who can pound Jim Beam like water during August in Alabama. What it really tells me is that your hobbies include being in the military and possessing a profound lack of originality. And then there are the pictures. Would it kill you to ask a friend to take a decent photo instead of a grainy selfie in a dimly lit barracks room? Have friends."
I got to cut you off and tell you, fellas, back when I really was looking, if there was more than one selfie, I would allow a guy one selfie because I'm like, a lot of guys don't have their buddies taking their pictures like us ladies do. That's just the way it is. But if there was more than one selfie, and especially, I would allow one. If it was one in a bathroom mirror, no.
Absolute. What about shirtless in a bathroom mirror?
Absolutely not. If I don't care how good looking you were, how good your job was, whatever your deal was, if it was in a bathroom mirror or in a hotel mirror, whatever, I was fucking out. Don't do it. Oh my God.
From the females, like, what are the pictures that are acceptable and do grab attention?
At the end, I'll go over a couple of these that are okay.
Okay. All right, so she goes on to say, you do have friends, right? Of course you do. They managed to capture the harrowing images of you in your field op battle rattle glory, arms crossed, not smiling, sporting Oakleys in front of a dirty Humvee in an undisclosed base location. OPSEC, bro. If a girl is lucky, you might have three other pictures in rotation. Traditionally, these include the car selfie, the gym pic, because your fitness needs a witness, and everyone's favorite, I caught a fish photo.
I do love the fish photo. Keep that. So you like to fish.
Yeah, that's a big one. Fish one is a huge one. Yes. Is the combination of the latter two meant to prove that you can be strong, capable provider in the event of a zombie apocalypse? I don't know. I don't speak for all women, but is there a specific cultural significance to the act of visor wearing shirtless fishing? Did we regress without anyone knowing into a hunter-gatherer society? And I hate to bring up stereotypes, but there's one that really sticks out. The car. I'm sure that Mustang Charger Camaro you mentioned loving in your bio was really great when you bought it. After all, you spent every last dime in the down payment and financed it at 30% interest. It's just not the best idea to advertise your terrible financial decision before we even meet. Others, meanwhile, have turned to dating apps after a divorce. Some have children, and that's fine. Women, for the most part, don't mind a guy who could commit. Trashing your ex in your dating profile, however... How's that working out for you? Nothing says I moved on quite like a photo with you and your ex with Satan's head emoji resting squarely over her face. Also, do us a favor and don't say you're looking for someone to be a mother to your children. Would you say that to a stranger on the street? No. Then don't put it in your bio. This might sound very cynical, and that's because it is. Dating is a nightmare. Just do better. Good luck, Sarah.
I think that's a great letter. That's filled with great advice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's SARAHSICARD. Sarah Sicard. You can follow her on Twitter. She's a great follow. But I could not tell you how many times I would be looking at a guy's like Bumble bio and be like, why is he on here? He so clearly hates women right now. He's so angry at women. It's like if you're a dumb bitch, don't swipe.
Instagram, yeah, they are crazy.
I used to send Chaps's wife the ones I would stumble across that I'm like, I cannot believe this is a real human. But some guys, it seems like, made their profiles just to let out their rage on their ex. Like,
don't come at me with some feminist bullshit.
Like the last girl did.
If you're on here, it's because you're trolling for dick. You're not better than us.
It's like, what are you doing on here then, man? I don't understand. But the car thing too, like, so here's what I want to know. If like fixing up cars is your hobby and you love doing that, put a picture of you working on the car. Like, that's interesting to me that's like a hobby of yours. But if it's just you and clearly a car you probably can't afford and that there's a line between he likes cars and he's like crafty and he's never going to pay attention to me because he's going to be looking at his reflection in the hood of his shitty Camaro.
Now, I want to transition a little bit. Same type of idea, but transition. One of the things that people struggle when they get out of the military is finding that friend group. What if we made a veteran profile, like almost dating site, but for pals that is in your area where you could put your hobby, like you could put your woodworking stuff or you could put golf, you could put watching sports, you could put drinking beer, craft beer, whatever in there. And it's not designed for dating. It's just designed for, I'm looking for a couple pals in the area.
I think that's a great idea. Some like-minded individuals with shared hobbies. I think that's great.
There is an app. There's a couple out there that are trying to do that, and I forget the name of the one.
Kovu or something? Didn't we have the guys on there?
That was a whole other ball of wax. But there's apps like that out there. But even then, I feel like it would devolve into a lot of one-upping. Everybody's profiles would be a little more beefed up than they actually were in the military. Like, everything would be a little more...
Well, I don't know. I think whenever you're talking military guy to military guy or military lady, when you're doing it with somebody else that was in there, I think that you're more prone to do a little downplaying. I think that would be one of the only areas normally amongst civilians you upplay, and amongst other veterans you can do a little bit of downplaying.
I know, so when I was in Fordham Veterans Group, it was just like a big dick contest at every meeting we all had. And I'm like, I don't want to be friends with any of these people.
Yeah, but I feel like those veteran groups at schools or whatever, that almost feels like forced fun. Like your mom set up a play date with the other kids in class.
Whereas and it's too fresh. You've been out for like a minute.
Yeah, whereas what Chaps is talking about, I like because it's just you searching for people on your own. It's not like I just walk into a room and I know everyone there's a veteran. I found this person who has shared interests.
For dude buddies, it could be like, are you looking for just friendship or a little grab assing? You want to grab each other's dick tips a little bit?
Just a little goofing. That's
is goofing
all
right. Okay?
Oil checks?
A little goose goofing.
You want to meet up in the park? I'm missing the military day. You want to meet up in the park and oil check each other for a second?
Got your goose.
Got your goose.
Yeah. All right. So if you, another way that you could transition out is finding a new job and a new exciting career. It's not going to be an ad read, but I'm talking about Jordan Belfort, who I interviewed yesterday. He came on the show. You know him because he's in so many gifts across the internet. He's in an Oscar award winning. Leonardo won an Oscar for that, right? Didn't he?
No. Leo won his he won his Oscar for The Revenant.
Oh, but, the bear movie. That's right.
The bear movie, yes.
So Jordan came on the show. His folks reached out to me, and they're like, hey, we want to have Jordan Belfort, The Wolf of Wall Street. I was like, our show? Like, why?
Yeah, I was very surprised when you told us that. I didn't know what the angle was.
I didn't know either, and I didn't know. I was like, did he serve? And they left that out. I was like, that would have been a good little ad to the movie. And he said, no, that he has a veteran initiative. And the way that he talks about it, I think, is really, really great, because he talks about how if you think of a salesperson, the typical salesperson, you think of somebody who's classically bombastic, who has no fear of approaching people, who will initiate conversations. Jordan says that there's room for the people who are shy, the people who are stoic, the people who are bombastic, the people who aren't. Listen to his story. I think it's a great program that some of you should check out if you are getting out. It's the most common question that we get. How do you transition? What do we actually need to do? Jordan Belfort gets some fantastic advice, even though he never stood on the yellow print fence. Here he is. All right, now on Zero Blog 30, we have none other than the Wolf of Wall Street himself, Jordan Belfort. Now, Jordan, people know this is a military show. They might be wondering why you're on the show. You're not exactly, you didn't do any time in the Marines or the Army or anything like that. What brings you to a show like ours?
Well, let me start by saying that I think, like most people, if they're not out of their minds, I have massive respect for anyone that served in the armed forces. And on some level, although that Jack Nicholson speech from A Few Good Men is over the top, it's actually true. I mean, you know, these are the people that are actually on the front lines providing the banner of freedom, which we all live and take for granted. So I have massive respect for anyone in the service. And I think that you guys truly are the unsung heroes. And sometimes the sung, but many of the unsung you don't find out about. And it's awesome. And I think the reason I wanted to come on the podcast is because I've been training salespeople for a long time, many years, 30 years, right? And I've always done really, really well when I go and hire people from my own companies, people with military backgrounds, for whatever reason. I think I know what those reasons are. Discipline, commitment, stick-to-itiveness, all the things that are, you know, conditioned into people. Yeah, attention to detail, follow through, high standards, right? I've always done really well. So I started a recruiting company about 6 months ago, and I've been doing really, really well with it. And I noticed that there's like massive unemployment, and meanwhile, I have the ability to find people jobs in the world of sales. And I said, you know, I think the greatest thing I could do here would be to take some of this open inventory of jobs and offer to, you know, go to the military and see anybody that wants to be trained in how to become an expert closer, which is a very high paying job. I would waive all my fees for those people out of courtesy to the military. So give scholarships to everyone and just find them awesome jobs. So I thought it was a great fit. And I mentioned this to someone on my show last week, and they were like, you should definitely, you know, reach out to this, to you, because, you know, you're the man. And that's it. I think that it's ridiculous that given that, you know, you put your time in, you serve the country, when you come out to not have the ability to be trained in a new career that pays a lot of money, and even to think about that the country's not going to help you find a job, is ridiculous to me. So I think it's an awesome thing.
And I think when you approach it that way, your ideas make complete sense, but you can see some, when I put in your name and you put in the news and it comes up, Jordan Belfort wants to end all payments for unemployment. That's a shocking statement whenever you read it, but hearing your reasoning behind it, it makes sense when you're saying there is jobs out there. People just have to know how to find these jobs.
Well, let me clarify that. I don't believe that. I don't want to end the payments for unemployment. What I do think is that whenever you set up a situation where there is these potentially unintended consequences, like if you pay people more money to sit home than if they can go and actually work, that's going to lead to people sitting home and not working. I think anybody that actively is trying to find a job that can't find one should absolutely get unemployment. for the long term while they're searching for a job. But I think we both know that there are many people out there that were taking advantage of the fact that you could make more money being paid by the government versus going and finding a job. So they're two very different things. And I want to be very clear here that I think that people that are actively trying to find jobs that can't, of course, you'd want to help those people out and give them the resources and the money they need to sustain them through a difficult time. But that's very different than people choosing to not work because they can make more sitting home watching TV than going out and busting their ass. So I think there's very different things.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And when you're looking at somebody, we get the veteran question constantly. We have so many people that reach out to us. How did you end up in your job in media? How did you end up here or there? With somebody that wants to get into a sales or a business role like yours, you have a veteran that's getting out of the military. He approaches your organization and says, help me out. What are some of the initial things that they would need to do in order to be involved?
Well, so what I do something very different than other agencies that find people jobs. I actually train the people before I deliver them to a company. So I would actually train them in the job they're going to do. Now, normally I charge money for that to the candidate. In this case, I would not. I waive all the fees because of the military service. They deserve to get the training for free and a scholarship. So what's happening is, listen, sales is a really high paid job. It is not for everybody. It's not. Some people don't want to do it. They won't enjoy themselves. But I would say if you believe that this is something that you could see yourself doing, you enjoy it, I'm here to tell you that don't worry if you don't know how to sell. I'm happily will train you for free and give you a myriad of opportunities at different companies, all that pay really strong base salaries and give you big commissions on top and at least offer you the opportunity. Whether or not you take it, that's up to you. But I think the opportunity should be given to everyone that served in the military.
And do you have a certain personality that you go through? Because like my personality, very bombastic, in your face, ready to go. And then you have some veterans that'll get out there a lot more quiet and they don't want to talk a whole lot. They're going to be a little bit more stoic. Do you have a certain personality trait that you're like, this is the type that I want for my salesman?
Different personality traits do well at different types of sales jobs. For example, some people are really good at opening up new accounts. They're really great at, they love to cold call. They want to knock on doors. Like for instance, door knocking is like one of the jobs people hate.
Man.
But in the military, you find veterans, by the way, they will go out and like, this is a cakewalk knocking on doors. Like they outperform everybody else in those type of outside sales jobs. Because for them, it's a duck walk for them, right?
Right.
So,
you're going to get yelled at. That's happened a million times.
Please, right. You're like, yeah. Slam the door in your face. Have a nice day, right? They don't care.
Right.
So the thing is, though, is that, you know, different types of sales jobs for different people. Some people enjoy that. Others would rather have an existing account and be someone that develops that relationship for the long term, which is requires more of a quieter, less in your face type of person. So there's jobs for everybody. And it's really more about your personal standards. And that's why the military people do so well. If you have high standards, because you have to be a self-starter and you have to hold yourself accountable when it comes to selling. All right. If you don't, it's just not, you're in the wrong profession. If you look at the punch a clock and get a paycheck without any upside, it's probably not the right job for you. But I find people from the military, they have really high standards. And that is always the long-term indicator of success. Talent, you could teach people to sell. That's not that's the easy part for me. It's having people that are willing to go out there. And I always say with all matters of success, so much of being a successful adult is the ability to get yourself to do the things that you know you have to do every day, even when you don't feel like doing them. Mm. And that's what they teach you in the military. That's a huge predeterminer for success in all things, not just sales.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think when I'm talking to your team and just getting you on the pod, you could see that type of work ethic that you're talking about, you see it in you still, like traveling overseas to Asia, in California, back in Texas. So there's got to be almost a no excuses type approach to your school and your scholarships as well. I would imagine somebody getting out, you get out of the Marine Corps. That's the only thing I can really speak to because I'm a Marine. The last thing I wanted right away would be a teacher that's kind of in my face. I wanted to take a little bit of a break like that. What's the general attitude around your scholarship program?
Yeah, well, it's about self-empowerment. Listen, we give people the skills they need in a very fun, team. It's a very team-like spirit, but it's not the yelling in your face. It doesn't work in the business world,
right?
Especially in the sensitive 2020s. Yeah. Or you get his lawsuits, right? No, but I mean, listen, we have diversified classes. I always say I'm a racist for sure. I'm very racist. I hate two races: lazy people and stupid people. Mm. Everybody else I love. Okay, so those are my racist qualities of a stupid people and lazy people. So we have very diversified men, women, black, white, you name it. We're like, I don't care. I just want people that want to, are willing to put in the effort for themselves. If you're willing to put the effort in, one thing I can promise you when it comes to the world of selling, if you're trained properly and you work at a good company, and there are many good companies out there looking for hardworking people, you'll make a lot of money and have a career that will lead you into management and something you can really be proud of. And I think that, again, not for everybody, but I think there's a very, very large proportion of people that are exiting out of the military would be really, really, would be doing themselves a favor, even if they didn't even, by the way, even if they only were in the sales world for a short time. But the skills that you learn in terms of just human communication, the ability to explain your thoughts, ideas, hopes, and dreams, the ability to negotiate effectively, to be able to, ask for a raise when you have to ask for a raise, to be able to just, communicate. It's such a powerful skill to possess. So I think everyone should have it. It's almost like it's a required course in my book, that I couldn't imagine trying to move through the world in an empowered way without being able to get my point across to other people.
Right. And one more question, because there's thousands of different jobs companies looking to hire veterans and train them up and put them in job placement programs. But we've found over the years that primarily the ones that they're really targeting are the officers. The officers that get out, they already have a college education, they've had the experience of leading people. That's a no-brainer for companies to have. Do you look at the enlisted side, somebody that might not be college educated, doesn't have that pedigree behind them? Do you look at somebody without a degree program and like, yes, I want them too?
That's exactly who I want. I don't want the, I'm happy to help train the officers as well, but I'm looking for the enlisted person, the average guy that's done 4 years or 6 years, whatever he's done, and he or she's put their time and effort into it. Now they're ready to go out there and, provide for themselves, their families, and go out there and deliver value and learn the skill sets that are required to become a great closer. And I'll tell you, I would, as many people as you can find that are enlisted, just enlisted, no college education required, I'll give them the real world skills. And I'm honored to be able to do that on a scholarship without any money. It won't cost them a penny.
Well, that's a huge majority of our audience. So I think that your inbox is going to be flooded. Because if I didn't have this job, honestly, I hear you. I'm sitting, I'm riding around on the base. I'm running, I'm working out at the gym, and I listen to this and I know I have to transition. We've all seen the movie. We know the lifestyle that you've led. We know the lifestyle that you're leading now. Everybody wants some money in their pocket, but figuring that way out, it really can seem daunting. When I got out and retired, I had my retirement set up. I knew I was going back to school. I had no idea the steps to take. The only job I had ever really applied for was the Marine Corps, and that was just filling out an application, essentially. I had never done a resume. I had never done any of that stuff. I had no idea where to start, and the way that they teach you when you're getting out is absolute trash. So if I'm sitting here listening, what do they teach you? They teach you basically what not to put on your resume. And it's really, there's a guy named Master Sergeant Colbert who got out of the Marine Corps. He's one of the main focuses of the HBO miniseries Generation Kill. And he did an interview recently where I thought he was spot on. He spent 26 years in the Marine Corps. And he said, for 26 years, they taught me how to be lethal. They taught me how to be a Marine. And then for 10 days, whenever I was done, they decided to teach me what to do when I got out. And I think that that's exactly right. That's where we're at. We spend years learning our craft. And then when you get out, you look at it and nobody wants to hear about your craft. What can you do for me now? What you did in your craft, I don't understand it. I don't know it. I don't know how that applies to this job that I have. And applying those techniques is something that most folks, when they get out, they don't know.
See, the true beauty of this is I believe that those techniques, the things that people have learned during those four or whatever years they were as enlisted men and women, are the exact skill sets they need to succeed in the world of selling, because so much of it is mindset. Mm-hmm. It's the ability. I'll say it again. It's the ability to get yourself to do the things that you know you have to do day in and day out that you might not enjoy. But what you can do very quickly is say, wait a second. I enjoy the other side, which is that. Because, like, you know, in selling, this is part of it is finding the right people to sell to. There's some canvassing involved in most sales jobs. But then also, once you get in front of someone, it's really nice, the interaction, and you really learn how to influence and persuade in an ethical way. And we really teach a very powerful but ethical persuasion system called the straight line that anyone can learn. And the money, I mean, I have people that, you know, the first few months they're making $15,000+ a month or more in base salary plus commission. That's not everybody, but they all the jobs have significant base salaries or at least draws against the commissions, and it gives people, and plus I'm there, I also coach them for 3 months after they get placed at a company. That's free as well. So they're getting coaching, you know, both inner game mindset coaching and skills coaching. So it's in, you're joining a network of people that really want nothing but the best for you. And I make my money from the company. That's from the company side that they pay me. So it's a win-win for everybody. They're looking for great, dedicated salespeople. They want to pay for it. And I have the ability to train people and make them lethal in the world of sales. So yeah. They're lethal mindset-wise. You know?
That's what they want, lethality in sales.
I can make them lethal in sales. I used to say my old thing is like, you know, it's like, you know, the straight line system. It's like, you know, in my metaphor, Leo uses it in the movie, goes, you're like a Marine with an M16. Right. You know, that's a lethal weapon, right? In the hands of a trained Marine, right? Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? You know, straight line sales is lethal in the hands of a trained person, but you're not hurting people. You're actually helping them get what they need and making a ton of money in the process. And the great part is, I think also just, you know, I think one of the issues a lot of people coming out of the military face is like this sort of like a sense of purpose. Like you had this high purpose you were mm-hmm. serving. Well, you know what? This is something that's really, it's like your own. You get that same entrepreneurial feeling. Even though you have a job with a salary, you still feel somewhat like it's like your own thing, and you can really grow with it. And many people end up going into management very quickly and starting their own businesses or just being in sales. But one thing I can assure anybody listening is if you want to put the work in, I promise you, I will not stop training you until you succeed. I don't care if you fail at the first two jobs, I'll place you with a third job. As long as you're willing to do the work, I will continue to train you, place you for you. You'll never have to pay me a penny if you serve in the military. That's my commitment to you. Anybody listening.
And if they want to sign up, where do they go? Is it a physical building? Is it online?
Go to my website, jordanbelfort.com, and you'll see a thing called Straight Line Hiring. And just put your information in, and someone will call you very quickly, and we will get you sorted out. Doesn't matter where you live. We have jobs available in every state. People are looking for salespeople who are willing to work hard. It's one of those jobs that will always be there, even in bad economies, and it's there in good economies. And the military, in my mind, deserve the shot to go first. So I'd put them above anybody else. If I had four people for a job, I'd put the military people ahead of everybody else. I would.
And whenever they're going for it, would they have to move somewhere else, or could they stay where they're at and do your training?
They could do both. No. The training is all done virtually now. Okay. It's interesting. I had a limiting belief myself. I didn't think it was possible till COVID hit. And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second, everyone, you know, you learn how to do things virtually. So no, you could do the training.
And now
training
I don't
want
to go
virtual.
Back to some of the other shit that we're going.
Exactly.
If I ever have to go to a place and pick up my groceries again and like pick them out, I'll freak out.
Tell me about it. Right, exactly. I know it's weird, right? You get to this point now where like, and I see it with jobs. If I am posting a job that, and any of the jobs are work from home, by the way, because people mm-hmm. now can work out of their house because technology is at the level where you can be just as productive there. People will line up for those jobs and say, wait, I got to go to an office? I don't know about that. Right. You know, but we have both. We have jobs for virtual. We have jobs out in the field. We have jobs based on the phone. We have jobs in offices. So everything is there all over the country. And what all it's about is people willing to work hard and learn. And that's high standards. If that's you and you want to make a lot of money, this is a call. At least all you got to do is at least check it out. If it's not for you, it's not for you, but at least check it out. You won't be pressured into doing anything other than I'm happy to educate you for free at worst.
There you go. Jordan, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. I hope a lot of the listeners take you up on it. I sure as shit would if I didn't have my dream job. Thanks, Jordan.
Guys, take care. Good luck. Bye-bye.
I could have talked to that dude about damn near anything because he's passionate. You can hear passion in his voice, and passion can lead you two places. It can lead you to a place of doing great things for a lot of people, or it can lead you down some of the roads Jordan's been before, where you take advantage and you become where you get in a little bit of trouble. And he's done both, and I think that now this program that he's setting up, doing it for free, helping people out, having it be virtual, teaching people how to have a job, and continuously, even if the one spot that you end up in doesn't end up being your spot, he'll help you find another one. I think that it's a really cost you nothing. It's a win-win situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
He seems like a real genuine guy now.
And there's a lot of I always talk about ACP, American Corporate Partners, does mentoring for veterans, and anything you want to do, any outlet. They linked me up with a journalist at the Wall Street Journal, where I used to go over to the Journal and sit and have coffee with this guy, and it kind of helped me get on my feet and figure out where I wanted to go and what I didn't want to do and what I do want to do. But there's so many people out there like who just want to help you and want to mentor you and want to give you a leg up and a hand. So,
and he made a really good point that I want to kind of highlight here, is that it doesn't have to be something that you do forever. If you take one of these courses about how to be a proper salesman or saleswoman, and you take some of those principles, you can apply it to many different areas of your life, of just how to be approachable, how to be kind of a chameleon in the environment that you're in. There's a lot of good things to be gleaned from that. I'm glad that we had him on the show. I was hesitant. I didn't know how it would fit, how it would go. I'm glad we had him on. I think that even if you don't sign up for his program, which I don't really give a fuck if you do or not, like it doesn't mean anything to me, but I think that if you want to take advantage of it, it'll be a good thing to do. Let's move on to round number five. We're going to talk a little bit. A damning ship came out, and it's about a beaver. What do we got, Kate?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is from David Rosa at Task and Purpose. I just had to put this in here because I saw it, and maybe it's because I'm prego and I saw this little baby boat. I thought, oh my God, oh, I just want to hold this boat in my arms and rock it like the sea.
Put it in your pocket.
Put it in my pocket, my little cargo pocket. So we got the nuclear-powered subs and the huge hovercrafts and the aircraft carriers and all that stuff. Navy has a lot of boats and strange ships in all shapes and sizes. Have you ever been on the shores of Camp Pendleton and, like, having a beach day drinking with my buddies and a hovercraft goes by out in the sea? You're like, what the fuck is that thing? It's fucking cool. But one boat is notable not for its tonnage or its speed or its wacky shape, but how insanely freaking cute it is. That's right, the vessel known as the Boomin' Beaver. Oh, God. It doesn't launch helicopters off its deck, but it's packed full of shock and awe. Do you see what he did there?
Yeah.
Shock and awe.
Yeah, that's nice, yeah.
So it's a 19-foot miniature tugboat. This just keeps getting cuter and cuter to me. And it protects larger boats. They deploy, operate, and maintain underwater barriers surrounding ships like the USS Constitution, the 223-year-old wooden frigate up in Boston. It's the equivalent of opening a gate for cattle to go in and out. So this little mini tugboat, and it says U.S. Navy on it. It looks like something out of a kid's cartoon.
This is a barstool-centric conversation here, but this boat is obviously Spider.
Yes! If this boat was a Barstool employee, it would. Who would be the aircraft carrier? Who would be?
Dave.
Probably, yeah, Dave. Yeah, sense. Dave. Yeah. That would be Big Cat. But yeah, so if that's the case, if Big Cat and Dave are the aircraft carriers, Spider is the little mini. But he's the beaver. He's the mighty little beaver, the Boomin' Beaver. 19-foot sailboat. It keeps the others safe. It makes these little gates under the water. It, like, opens and closes them, underwater barriers. And basically, the deck is very low to the water, which allows the beaver's 2 to 5 crew to safely maintain and operate the barriers. That's wonderful, but where did the boat get the name Boomin' Beaver? Apparently, it's a hand-me-down from the logging industry where the vessel first came from.
If you're on the Boomin' Beaver, I can guarantee you one thing. You're grab-assing. That's a grab-ass city.
You're on the Boomin' Beaver. You're steering with one hand, and your other hand is pinching the tip of someone else's penis.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're getting goosed. You're getting goosed while you're driving the Boomin' Beaver.
That's goose city. Getting your oil checked all the time. You might as well call every one of those little places Valvoline.
Absolutely. And these mini tugboats, they were originally designed to pull floating logs, kind of like how beavers pull sticks downstream. So the Navy currently has 10 little Boomin' Beavers. And it's just, I just had to talk about it because I'm thinking about the dating app from Sarah Sicard And I picture some hardo having like some big, yeah, I'm in the Navy, blah, blah, blah. Here's me, like rifle qual, blah, blah, blah. And then I picture the woman on the pier one day with her friends looking out and be like, oh my God, that's the guy from the dating app. And he's on the Boomin' Beaver with four other dudes. Just
oh
like,
no, we're not going to clown them, Kate. That's not what we're going to do. What I would do if I was on that ship, you better believe I would have a forearm tattoo of a tugboat. Just right there.
Absolutely. A little Boomin' Beaver. But yeah. See, say I was a guy who was making a dating app in the military. A picture that I would, that as a lady, I would see and get a chuckle out of and swipe on and be like, this guy's funny, and it's a military one, is if he was on the Boomin' Beaver, but trying to look like a hardo, but clearly he's got a sense of humor because it's the Boomin' Beaver. Mm-hmm. That would get my beaver booming.
Okay.
All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. We'll start with you, Kyle. What do you got?
So want to push some stuff y'all are doing. Kate's about to jump on a new podcast, right, Kate?
Yeah, Out and About Pod. So Pat here at the office is starting Barstool's first LGBTQ podcast. Actually, we're having in the month of November, we just got down the Honorable Patrick J. Murphy, one of the former undersecretaries of the Army. And he was one of the first to rally against Don't Ask, Don't Tell and get that out of the way back in the day. So we're going to have him on to talk about that soon, a little crossover with CBT. But yeah, first LGBTQ podcast. He's having me on as more of a...
ally.
I guess I would say an ally, but as somebody too, like I'm not in the culture and I don't know too much about it. So sometimes it's good to have an outsider be like, what'd you do on Fire Island and what's Fire Island and what is this thing used for?
What's a twink? What's that
mean?
Yeah,
what's a power bottom? So
what's a bear?
Yeah. Okay.
So kind of to make it for the podcast for everybody. Yeah. It's kind of like how we explain military terms and stuff in here because you sometimes forget not everybody knows. It's kind of like that's what I'm on it for, but I'm really happy to be on it. And we have this week coming up is the first episode
coming out.
Some might
say you're proud to be on it.
I'm proud to be on it. I feel prideful. But we have the soccer player from the pro soccer team out in California who a member of the opposing team called him the F word right out in the field. And his whole team stood by him and walked off. And we have him on the show this week. So a lot of interesting people. It's going to be an interesting show. So thanks, Kyle. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, Kate's got that and Morning Sunshine, which is still going.
Don't watch it.
Chaps is still doing longtime toolies. And Cons is grading charcuterie boards like a big, giant snob. And the only other thing I want to say is I think collectively, with the exception of Cons, we couldn't give a single shit less about Service Academy football. I think we're all on the same page, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
And that's fair. Listen, that's fair.
I love the pomp and circumstance of going to one, but only if I'm hammered. And that's not possible right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like Thanksgiving. If you have Thanksgiving every week, no one cares.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Army Navy is a cool football game.
September.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
was interesting for Air Force football, their official account, to tag us.
Twice, Connor.
Yeah.
It's like, and then all the Air Force nut swingers are just, yeah, go Air Force. Like, no one cares.
I was mad at you guys for that. They're allowed to be excited and want to share. Air
Not
Force, I'm
surprised. Kate has liked a bunch of stuff this week. That and the TikTok video of the Marines doing dick wiggler stuff out there on the flight line or wherever the fuck they were.
They were making fun of another video that had come out with cowboys, and they were reenacting that video, but in their uniforms, and it was funny.
All right, let's go on. Kate, what do you got?
First of all, I feel like people need to know, but we're like a family that's been together for however many years now. And we have, every now and then we have our own ups and downs. This morning was one of them where we just couldn't get our shit together. And by the time we turned the Zoom on, I was half hysterically laughing, half sobbing for some reason.
It really broke the ice.
It really.
I couldn't tell.
I was really losing my marbles this morning when it came on. So thanks to everyone for their patience this morning. Before the show, I was like, Chaps, just go on without me. I'm going to go into the office. So anyway, you know, it's not perfect, but we do all love each other. And I'm sorry. But yeah, no, there's that.
You almost cried again. Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
Well, Katie cries a lot. So well.
I do care about you guys a lot.
Here we go.
Here come the waterworks.
And it's so genuine. My face turns purple. Anyway, That's all I have to say. Just thanks for everyone's patience.
It's warm
this morning. I'm very hot.
Gons, what do you got?
Buckle in. I got a few.
Oh, God.
Yeah, guess what? This was the night we mentioned it briefly, but we're still in Afghanistan. President Trump tweeted that they're going to be home by Christmas.
Imagine the exact tweet, because if the wording made me laugh.
We should have the small remaining number of our brave men and women serving in Afghanistan home by Christmas.
And it was funny to people because they're like, only the brave ones, though. The little pussies got to stay over there.
All the pogues, they got to stay there and keep an eye on those bases.
Yeah.
But picture this, all right? Imagine if this is the scene. It's December 24th. It's Christmas Eve. Everyone's TVs get taken over, kind of like an emergency broadcast. And it goes to down in Washington at the mall. And it's Michael Bublé singing Bing Crosby's I'll Be Home for Christmas. And then they pan to a hangar at what's the base down in Delaware?
Dover
Air Force Base. And it's just all the soldiers and airmen and everybody else that's in Afghanistan, and they just walk out of the hangar, and it's everybody, and they're home for Christmas. That would be cool. So,
well, you got to do it before then. Getting flights on Christmas Eve, God, would be an absolute nightmare. You got to start
good
at
point.
Least the 20th.
Counterpoint.
Good point. Good
counterpoint. Not a great Christmas for the Afghan people. As the Taliban comes lurking through.
But every time I see that we're still in Afghanistan, I just think of the Big Cat's Figure It Out gif. It's just like, I don't get it anymore. Speaking of Christmas, can we chill out with Christmas in October? Can we go with the holidays in order? People who want to already start watching the movies, listening to the songs, people in Home Depot sending me pictures of Christmas trees that are already for sale. Just relax.
No, we need a little Christmas.
All right, well, guess what? Halloween and Thanksgiving are awesome, too. And finally, chaps, I had three people text me and ask me, based on your tweet the other day when you were trying to hype up our guest, Mr. Belfour, do you guys have Leo on your show? I'm like, no, in fact, we do not have Leonardo DiCaprio on our show, but thank you for asking.
He wouldn't fit. He's never
Chaps,
I don't even think he's in a military movie.
Chaps knew exactly what he was doing when he did that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He's well aware.
He did.
Yeah, because he got me with it. I knew who you were interviewing, but when I saw it for a second, I was like, holy fuck.
Speaking of getting one another, I would just like to say back to Chaps, like, you guys like to pick on me or whatever. I didn't think it was outside of the realm of possibility to just go along with Kate, what she said her child's name was going
to
be.
I'm with Cons on this one. It got me. And the poll we did.
Doogie Buttress.
Most of the followers that voted.
She's not an idiot.
Yeah. You guys really
I
thought.
No one
I didn't
said she
rude.
Was an idiot.
No, but
no
I didn't want to be rude either.
For those who didn't follow along on Twitter earlier in the week, Cons asked me what I was going to name the child in the group chat. I said Doogie Buttress. And then he privately messaged Chaps to say, whoa, is she really naming her kid Doogie Buttress? And then Kyle also said, honestly, I thought she was kind of too.
Yeah.
Shame on all of you.
No, shame on you. Because then you
said
it was my grandpa.
That Cons was gullible. I said the Cons said, I'm not that gullible. I'm just overly trusting, which is the second definition of being gullible.
True. Yeah.
Fair. Let's give people the benefit of the doubt. And Doogie's not that wild. Buttress, and even though in my head I was like, yo, that sounds like duty butt, but I just don't want
to
be mean.
Doogie, first of all, is insanely wild to have somebody
at
their first
full
name.
Circle,
shout out
for
Doogie
a circle.
Hauser.
There's a fly on Kansas' hat.
Uh-oh.
Whoa.
Got your goose, right, you gullible bitch.
My little saved round is shout out to the former Army officer who got out of the Army, and he decided that he noticed that COVID was going on and there's so many different companies that were trying to have fitness equipment and they were sold out. He had the ability and the access to a factory to switch over the factory that was in his hometown and make it into a weightlifting company. And he started a company called Biggins, and he sent me some of the plates this week. And he reached out. He's like, I love the show. Got me through. I'd like to send you some. And I was like, dude, I can't give you a shout out or anything like that, but I decided that I'm going to. It's awesome. I'd love to see people get out, take a risk, be successful. It's exactly what Jordan Belfort talked about, just doing something that's a little bit outside your comfort zone. He did that, and it's working out great. He sold out of all of his first shipment and has to
wait
to do another one.
So I know that's a great way to sound the retreat, but I have one too then. We got these beautiful patches sent to us by a First Lieutenant Brighton J. Seifert with, he is with, I'm going to butcher this, he's an MV-22B pilot. He's a pilot with VMM-261. So he just sent us this lovely letter. He listens to the podcast, been listening since 2017, on his way to and from work every day, listening to our banter. He's a junior officer in the Air Wing, and he's giving credit to Chaps for being the best staff NCO he'll never have. And he said, Cons is a big, dumb, dummy face. No, he didn't say that. He said, give Kate Kyle Cons a big hello. And just really, really lovely letter that he sent there. So shout out to First Lieutenant Brighton J. Seifert. Thank you so much for the patches. Those are the kind of messages and emails and stuff like that that make my day. And I love sharing them. I put it in the group chat. We're just so grateful. See, here I go again, everybody.
I hope that the First Lieutenant's staff and CO advisor is listening too, so that he knows anything sound better than him. If that's the case, suck it. Sound the retreat.